All for leading us in those songs of praise and worship. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, it's a great privilege for us to be together today. Remember, I just want to encourage you with Matthew 18 and verse 20, where Jesus said to His disciples that wherever two or three of you are gathered together, there I am in your midst. So the Lord is with us. We're encouraged by that, and we will be encouraged. I hope you'll be encouraged by the lesson today. I want to just remind you, I think, of some very basic things about the great salvation that really is ours. In the book of Hebrews, the writer there encourages us with this great passage. There may be a lot of things that, a lot of directions, in fact, I have preached from that particular text for a sermon more than I can even think of. There are so many ways that you may read a scripture and head in a certain direction with. But today, I want it to be a lesson that reminds you of some very basic things about what Christ has done for you and how powerful that is in the everyday life. A great salvation, your great salvation that Jesus Christ Himself has purchased for you. So, read with me. For this reason, if you're reading in the King James, it says therefore, and y'all know why we're going to read about or what we're going to do when we see a therefore, right? Go read and find out what it was there for, okay? Do that later. But, for this reason, we must pay closer attention, he says, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us or to those who heard. We're so encouraged by what the message of the New Testament has to say to us about our salvation today. Now, without saying, I want to remind you that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to read in your New Testament about the life of Jesus and to read about what Jesus teaches about being saved and what He does or how He lays out a principle for you to follow in order to be obedient to Him so that you can live a life that is free from worry. Free from concern. A way to live so that you wake up each day with a reminder in your own mind of what a great salvation you actually have. I think a lot of times this word is misused or maybe abused when we talk about the idea of salvation because of so many things that are involved in it. That is the impression by so many others as they try to describe about what salvation is all about and what you need to do in order to be saved. You heard me say to you, go read what the Bible says about salvation. Don't take for granted what somebody tells you, even Bob Payne. Go read for yourself what God has asked for you to do. Now, having said that, I'm going to tell you to listen to me. I told you last week that, you know, God is here with us, But he couldn't be here to speak, so he sent me. Okay? So, as long as I'm speaking to you from the Word of God, and you know that we are listening to what God wants us to hear. There's nobody, no one, no person that is so good that they can save themselves. None. And there is no one who is so bad that God, through Christ Jesus, cannot save them. Am I right about that, Jim? Now, I came to that conclusion, but I'm right about that. Isn't that right? Because Jesus promises that He wants salvation to be something that everyone can have. And they can have that if they listen to Him. And we all know that sin is our problem. Sin is transgression of God's law, according to 1 John. That's just breaking the law of God. And we all have that difficulty. We could all live sinless like Jesus did. We wouldn't have needed Jesus. But as we heard from the great reading in John chapter 3 that Doug read to us today, thank you, Doug, that God sent His Son into the world, His only Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Our problem centers itself around our separation from God, and that's what sin does for us. So I want to give you just three things. I hope you'll write them down. Hope you'll scribble them in your Bible. I hope you're not carrying some kind of thing from the past where mom or dad or somebody said, don't write in the sacred pages of the book. Write it down so you can remember it. Make a note by the passages so you can turn later and remind yourself of this basic kind of teaching. I want to tell you today that Jesus provides for you a way of escape from the guilt of sin. Jesus saves you from the guilt of sin. Now, I don't mean that you will never feel guilty for having done something maybe you ought not to do. But I want you to realize that Jesus has taken care of your guilt. I want you to remember the point that God wants you to be saved and that He delivers us from the concept of the guilt of sin. Now listen to these passages. These are simple passages. They're great passages. But in the book of Romans 3 and verse 10, it says very simply, there is none righteous, not even one. Okay, all the righteous people stand up. All the righteous people stand up. You think this is a trick, don't you? You're wondering, should you stand up? If you're in Jesus Christ, are you righteous? Well then, stand up. Yeah, I did sort of trick you. I read that passage that said, sit down. I'm messing with you a little bit. I read this passage that says, no, there's not one righteous. And what that means is that you and I are in the same boat. We need salvation from our sin. But when we're in Jesus Christ, what are we? We're saved from our sin. And we're made righteous through the righteous one, the righteous work of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as it is revealed in the New Testament, is God's way of making mankind right. Amen. Makes him righteous. Righteous. Not that me or you in ourselves were able to live up to the standard of God in righteousness, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we just remembered in the sacrifice of Jesus in the cup washes me and cleanses me and makes me whole. I just want to remind you, yes, we're all in the same group. None of us are without sin. But if we have Jesus, we're saved from the sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, as the Apostle Paul was writing, well, let's get this other one. I'm leaving you behind. There's right here on the thing. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the point we're making, is that we all fall short. None are righteous. But listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Write that in your Bible somewhere. Get it in one of those spare pages if you don't want to write where the scriptures are written, if you've got a problem with that. But put it down so you'll have a reminder of it. For He hath made Him. That's talking about Jesus, of course. He hath made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus wasn't guilty of that, was He? That He might be made the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So the next time I say the righteous stand up, don't do it, you already did. You know what I mean, don't you? That we might be made righteousness in Jesus Christ. I don't want you going through life thinking that you're not good enough. Let me tell you, you're not. But in Jesus Christ, you are. Can I get a hallelujah from anybody? I mean, that's above amen, isn't it? I mean, that right there is definitely a hallelujah. To be in Jesus and to be in the state that I'm in as a person who cannot live up to God's law, to know that the blood of Jesus Christ brings me up to a level of being righteous in the sight of God. Man, that's a hallelujah for sure. What a great thing. Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin that we think of and that comes along. And the acceptance, brethren, of Jesus' pardon gives us a great sense of peace. Now, in your Bible, I'm encouraging you, I want you to turn over to Romans 5. I'm giving you a moment to go there. I mean, if you're a clumsy electronic person, you may not get there before I'm done. But if you got a regular Bible, you can get to Romans 5 and 1. Listen to what it says. It says very simply, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know, have you been experiencing the peace? Is there peace in your life? Do you recognize that all the cares and the troubles and the problems, the woes and the things that drag you down in this world are not forever, but the peace that passes all understanding is. And that's in Jesus. And that is something you have. Being justified in Jesus. You know that means just as if you never sinned, right? That's the point we're trying to get across. Faith in Jesus. Just as if I hadn't sinned. That's the way this works. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into the grace, this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We look forward to what God is going to do. Bobby said, made such a great point in his class today as we talked about all of the different aspects of joy and how easy it is to miss out on joy, because real joy is realizing that I am going to be with God in heaven. And it's because of Jesus I'm not doing anything for my own good. I'm doing it for Him because of what He's done for me. He allows me to be His child, and it helps me to see the joy that is found in even this old sinful world. Great joy. I've got joy because I'm looking forward to the great joy that comes in the after while. We have peace with God. That ought to bring to us confidence, brethren. Hebrews 10, verse 22, write it down. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Confidence and a conscience that is free of the guilt that sin brings with us. Why? Because Jesus provided it all. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any one of us, any person, should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Before the world began, in Jesus Christ, that we should walk in those good works, those good things that Jesus has for us. And that, my friend, Bobby, gives us an abounding joy. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we are told by the apostle there, whom having not seen, that means Jesus. I haven't seen Jesus. You remember doubting Thomas. And doubting Matthew and doubting Peter and doubting, all of them doubted, right? But Thomas gets the rap for saying, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Doubters, right? But I haven't seen Him. And the power of this is that those who have not seen, there's the power. That's you, that's me. Can believe in the Christ, the Son of the living God, as the one who has been resurrected, whom having not seen you love, in whom through now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's that joy, Bobby. Great joy, knowing that Christ was resurrected, an abounding kind of joy. And He is the one and the only way to pardon. According to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus the Christ. Isn't that great, Ray, when you have that kind of assurance? Again, the writer of the book of Hebrews in 9 and 22, he said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, Travis, there is no remission of sin. Well, what makes that so great? Well, when Paul is writing to the group at Ephesus, he says in chapter 1 and at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Brethren, we just don't think about that positiveness enough, that the forgiveness of sin is ours. Jesus saves me from the guilt of sin, but I'm going to get out on the limb now, okay? I'm going to tell you that He saves us from the power of sin. Now, I know you've been in a situation somewhere along the line where things just seemed like they overpowered you. I have found myself in sin because I was overpowered by the sin itself. Found myself doing what I said I'm not going to do or I wouldn't do, and yet here I am, I'm doing it. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The next verse says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, faith to faith, just to live by faith. We know that that is talking about living a life in Jesus Christ. Jesus saves us from the power of sin. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. Boy, here's a good one to write it down. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? See, that was a statement by Paul that said, I'm suffering just like the rest of you. I have my struggle with sin just like you do. Who will deliver me from this? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He was saying, I know what the law says. I know what I'm supposed to do, but my body says, hey, let's do this. My flesh says, why not do that? And every now and then I say, okay, let's do that. That's the sin. How does God come into our lives and save us from the power of sin? I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to encourage you to read Romans 6, verses 12 through 18. And the theme right there in those verses are, don't let sin have dominion over you. Don't let it rule you. That's a whole other sermon, who rules your life, right? I mean, we'll just preach that one later on. But I want to encourage you to look in those scriptures. But in 1 Peter 2 and 21, Peter says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Now listen, stay with me. You see, He gives us the power by His example to overcome. His example helps us and empowers us to overcome. He helps us so that we will not continue in sin. Again, the book of Hebrews and the writer in 2 and 18 says, for in that He Himself, Jesus, hath suffered being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted. Do you understand what that says? That says, hey man, I have been there. Hold on. Let me tell you about the end result of this. When you've got a good friend that comes to you and says, hey man, I see where you're headed. Hold on. I've been there. You better listen up. Because a person who has been there and has experienced it and is able to share with you what the outcome will be, I mean, that's a God wink, as Tommy Goode likes to call it. That's God talking to you. He's letting somebody else help you. He's trying to get you to see. There's not a reason to go down this road. I've been there, and it doesn't lead in the direction that you're hoping it will. Don't go. And that allows you and me to become more than a conqueror, as the Apostle Paul gives us in Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all of these things, says Paul as he's concluding a great statement in verse 37, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God loves us. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, listen, to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Are you listening? God is providing a way for you to overcome and for you to be more than a conqueror, but rather to conquer through Jesus Christ, who conquered everything, including death. Give me an amen. That's power in your life. God not only helps you get over the guilt of it, He says, I'm going to break and snap the power of sin in your life, if you'll remember this. Revelations 2, the Revelator John wrote, and he said in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Mario, we talked about this morning, this idea of exalting self. These folks didn't love that was said in the reverse, but what it was saying was, they didn't love their lives. They loved the life of Jesus more. They loved the life that's found in God. And that's what we're trying to encourage one another to do. He is the one way, again, to power. When Jude is writing, we have in that little short book, in verses 24 and 25, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. What a great privilege it is to be in Christ, to know that we can be conquerors through Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And lastly, Jesus, He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. He empowers us to become overcomers and conquerors. And He saves us from the penalty that is due because of sin. And the testimony is this. I know you've got to have this one highlighted in your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. I hope you do. Verses 11 through 15. If you don't, get them marked up. This is the testimony, or the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. We all knew that. He who has the Son, are you listening? Has the life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we ask anything, if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. That's why we spend so much time in prayer. That's why we bring the names forward. That's why we mention the names and we say to our Heavenly Father, these are the ones we are praying about because we know that He hears us and He responds to us. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. God and His Son waits to intercede for us. He gives us a great advocate before the Father. A means of acceptance, if you will. That's another way of saying it. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man. I went on to Matthew chapter 10 and verses 32 and 33. Whoever confesses me before him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I say it again, one more time. He is the one way to escape sin's penalty. He is the one way that overcomes the power of sin. He is the one who leads us over the guilt of what sin can impose upon us. Jesus Christ the righteous, who wants all mankind to be saved. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. He writes to in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the great salvation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we ought to let them slip. That's the King James Version of that verse. Our great salvation. Where are you today? Are you in Jesus? I want you to be. If you're not, we could take care of that very quickly. In your faithful obedience to confessing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the submitting to being buried into the waters of baptism and raised to walk in a newness of life. That's His promise to you, and I give it to you. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?